And in Matthew chapter number 2, there's a portion of scripture that I wanted us to read. And I wanted us to look at, and this might be a little bit unique as a Christmas message. You might say, well, why would we look at this character in this passage here in Matthew chapter number 2? I want us to look for a few moments at King Herod. And here's what I want us to notice in Matthew chapter number 2, a very, very sad account tonight. I wanted us to look at King Herod, and I want us to see how Herod missed out on the Christ of Christmas. You know, it's possible to miss out on the Christ of Christmas. It's possible to celebrate Christmas. It's possible to enjoy all the decorations and all the excitement of the time and maybe perhaps enjoy the Christmas music and the time of year, but really to miss out on the importance. The importance is the Lord Jesus Christ, and Herod missed out on the Christ of Christmas. So I want us to notice this in Matthew chapter number 2, and we begin reading here in verse number 1, and of course we know this is also the story of those wise men who came for the purpose of worshiping Jesus, as he's now in his early part of his life, not in that manger now, away from the manger at the time, but of course in the early part of his life. And the Bible tells us here in verse number 1 in Matthew chapter 2, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king," so we know who's reigning as king at that time, "it says, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." By the way, they're traveling, their journey is a journey of around 600 miles. To get to a place where they can come and worship Jesus. And you might say 600 miles, of course, in that time would have been a very long journey, but it was because they felt it was worth it. It was worth it to travel 600 miles to worship this baby that's been born, that's going to be the Savior of the world. Verse number 2, it says this, "Saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Of course, they understood the special star that they saw in the sky, giving the message of the Savior that had come. Verse number 3, "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again," now notice, "that I may come and worship him also." My desire is to come and worship him also. And we, of course, understand that that was not the desire in Herod's heart at all, was it? Look with me, if you would, down at verse number 13. We'll skip a few verses. We'll come back to them in the thoughts here tonight. But look at verse 13. It says, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child, not to worship him, not to bow before him, not to give him gifts, but to destroy him." Again, tonight I want to preach to you this thought, how that Herod missed out on the Christ of Christmas. Herod desired to be king. He did not want to hear any word of any new king that had come. He didn't want Jesus to be king. Of course, we understand that that was not the type of king that we understand that Jesus came to be anyway. But we understand that Herod did not want that competition from this one who they say is born, the king. The king is born, the savior of the world. He didn't want that competition. He wanted to be king. He didn't want to let Jesus have any kind of title that would take him away from his throne. He wanted to have control over everything, didn't he? Now think about those two thoughts that I just said, and let's put them together in our minds by way of an application, or maybe perhaps by way of a truth tonight. I said this: he wanted to be king. He did not want to let Jesus be king. And then I made the statement, he wanted to have control over everything. Let me ask you tonight, is Jesus king in your life? Or would there be times in which we would say, like as Herod said, I want to be in control. I don't want to let Jesus in control of everything in my life. Instead, I want to be the one that's in control. Listen, tonight, God desires to be in control of our lives, doesn't he? He wants to have first place. He is to get the preeminence, not only in his house, in the church, but in our families, in our lives. God is the one that's to have first place. May we let Christ have control in our lives. Let's not be afraid to let God have complete control in our lives. And that may mean that there are some times in which we would have to say, Lord, if I'm going to truly let you have control and take my hands off of everything, then I'm going to have to give up some things that I've been in control of. I'm going to have to give up some things that I've allowed to reign in my life when, God, you should have been the one that was reigning. So here's Herod, did not want to let Jesus be king. He wanted to be king. He wanted to be in control of everything. And the question then for you, is the Lord king in your life? Are you allowing him to have control of everything in your life? We talked this morning in our Sunday school class about that word consecration. I mentioned it this morning in the morning service as well. Giving to God our lives in really completeness. We talked about what is true of consecration. We said, number one, it has to be something that you are willing to do. Consecration has to be a willing step in your life. But it also has to be something that you completely do. You've got to give God everything, not just a part. He wants everything, doesn't he? If he is not Lord, I heard somebody once say it, if he is not Lord of all, then he is not Lord at all. He has to be Lord of everything in your life, control of it all. And so the question tonight, and we're going to take these verses here in Matthew chapter 2 to talk about it, how did Herod miss out on the Christ of Christmas? I want you to notice several things as we go through here. And here's what we're going to notice to help us to understand how that Herod missed out on the Christ of Christmas. We're going to compare Herod to the wise men. Let's compare Herod to these wise men this evening. I want you to notice, look with me if you would, at verse number 1 again in Matthew chapter number 2. Verse number 1. We'll go back to some verses that we read. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now what's the reason why the wise men are there? They are seeking Jesus. Now here's the difference between the wise men and Herod, and this is why Herod missed out on the Christ of Christmas. The wise men were seeking while Herod was suffering. The wise men were seeking after Jesus, and the Bible tells us Herod is suffering. You say, what do you mean by that? Look with me, if you would, at verse number 2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now notice verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was what? Excited? Joyful? Rejoicing? No, he is troubled. The Bible says he's troubled as he hears that they are seeking after this child, Jesus, who has been born, and they even word it as king. He's born king of the Jews. And by the way, they came for the purpose of worshiping him, and we'll get to that in just a moment as we read in verse number 2. But notice the wise men are seeking while Herod is suffering. Look back to verse number 3 if you would again. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. That word troubled helps us to understand what he is really fearful of here. He's fearful of losing his kingdom, losing control over his kingdom, losing control over his people, because this child has come and he's now been born king of the Jews, and he's troubled by all of this. And then notice what happens in verse number 4, if you would. It says, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, notice what he does. He demanded of them where Christ should be born. Again, it sounds like a man who's very troubled, doesn't it? Sounds like a man who's very worried. Sounds like a man who's fearful. Sounds like a man who is suffering. He's troubled by the news he has heard. So notice the difference between the wise men and Herod. Herod misses out on the Christ of Christmas because the wise men were seeking after the Savior. But Herod was suffering. He was troubled by the news of the Savior that had come. Now, let us be mindful of what we said about the wise men tonight, that we may follow their pattern. They are seeking the Savior, aren't they? You know, the Bible says this, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You know, we would be wise Christians. We would be wise individuals tonight if we follow the pattern of the wise men and we are seeking Jesus. Seeking to make sure that he is, again, first place in our lives and in our homes, in our church. Seeking him when it comes to his power that we need in times of service as well as we're serving the Lord. We would be wise to seek the Lord. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What were the wise men doing? Well, the wise men were seeking, they were looking for the Savior's coming. They knew that that star meant the Savior had come, and that is what they were looking for while Herod is suffering. Notice number 2, why Herod misses out on the Christ of Christmas. Would you look at verse number 7? Verse number 7, it says this, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Now look with me, if you would, at verse number 9, a verse we did not read. We skipped over this one. It says in verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now let's look at verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now why did Herod miss out on the Christ of Christmas? What was so different about the wise men and Herod? Number 1, we said that the wise men were seeking while Herod was suffering. Number 2, the wise men were rejoicing while Herod was restless. Oh, Herod is demanding, I need to try to determine the timing of the birth of Jesus. I need to know exactly when he's born. And we understand why. He's trying to come up with a plan, isn't he? How can I get rid of this child? How can I destroy him? The Bible even uses those words there as it talks about the desire that King Herod has at the end of verse number 13. He was going to seek the young child to destroy him. How can I know who to look for? And so he asked in a very restless way to the wise men, can you go and get to Bethlehem and be able to find out where this child is and come back and report to me the timing of his birth? He's trying to determine the timing of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ again so he can destroy him, so he can do away with him. Well, the Bible tells us through all of this, the wise men are rejoicing, aren't they? They see the star. There was a time in which the appearance of that star had gone away, and now that star, the Bible tells us, appears again. And they're rejoicing, the Bible says, with exceeding great joy. Can I say this? Jesus brings joy, doesn't he? Now, Herod didn't have that joy in his heart because he did not know the Savior that had come. But the wise men, because of the fact that they're seeking after the Savior, it brought them joy. They knew that that star that they were following after was going to lead them straight to Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one who was going to bring them joy. I love that little carol that we sing, "Joy to the World, the Lord is come." Oh, I'm thankful today that we can have joy in our hearts because of the Savior that died for us, that loved us enough to come to this world and suffer the punishment on the cross for us. We can have great joy in our hearts, can't we? Why did Herod miss out on the Christ of Christmas? Well, while the wise men were rejoicing with joy in their hearts because of knowing the star would lead them to the Savior, Herod was restless trying to determine the timing of the birth of Jesus so he could destroy him. But now I want you to notice the third reason why Herod misses out on the Christ of Christmas. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 11. The very beginning of this verse, the first half of this verse, it says this: "And when they were come into the house." So now Jesus, again, not as a newborn baby in the manger, but sometime after that, in this house with his mother and his earthly father. And the Bible says this in verse 11: "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother." Now notice this: "And fell down and worshiped him." Let me say number three: why did Herod miss out on the Christ of Christmas? Number three, because the wise men were worshiping while Herod was worrying. The wise men were worshiping the Savior. And can you just picture this? As they enter into that house, Jesus there with Mary his mother, and the Bible says immediately they fall down and worship this Savior. At the same time, Herod is so worried, the question in his mind is, how can I do away with Jesus? I'm not seeking him. I'm not looking for him. I'm not rejoicing, or there's no joy in my heart because he's come. I'm certainly not desiring to worship him, although he claimed he would to the wise men, right? Instead, the question that's in his heart is, how can I do away with Jesus? And I say this, one of the joys that we have as people of God, as children of God, is the fact that we get to worship Almighty God. You know, you think about worship. I know I've talked about this a lot, and it's been something that I've tried to, again, encourage you with and establish in our church here. Worship is the act of giving, not receiving. You think about how that so often we want to receive things. We want to get things. But really, when we think about worship, it is the act of giving something to God. We are giving honor and glory and praise to Him. Think about what these wise men had an opportunity to do. Traveling 600 miles again because they knew it was worth it, so that they could fall down where Jesus was and be able to worship Him, to give honor and glory to Him because of who He was and because of what he had come to do. He was their Savior, wasn't he? He was worthy of their worship. Can you picture this in your mind now again? The act of giving, not receiving. When we have opportunity to sing praises to the Lord in the songs that we sang tonight, what are we doing? We are giving honor and glory to the Lord through our worship, aren't we? When we have opportunity to fellowship with one another and try to encourage one another, what are we doing? It's not about us receiving something. It's about saying that through my fellowship, through that worship time of fellowshipping with one another, I'm giving honor and glory to the Lord. Think about the act of worship when we take up our offering and we're able to give our offering to the Lord. We're able to give to the Lord, again, in a form of our worship, for the purpose of bringing honor and glory to Him. Think about all that He blesses us with. And really, he owns it all anyway, doesn't he? All that he blesses us with and allows us to even have in our lives. And when we're able to place our offering in the offering plate and able to give in that offering time, we're able to say, God, it's given to you so that you get the honor. So that you get the glory, so that this church can continue to be a lighthouse in this area to spread the good news of the gospel, so that we can continue to send missionaries out around our country and around the world, so that the good news of the gospel can be spread in the hearts and lives of those that our missionaries have an opportunity to share that good news with. We're able to worship the Lord through our giving. And then think about you, think about us as we hear the word of God as it's preached. Giving to God our attention, giving to God our alertness, giving to God, again, as we talked about this morning, being sensitive to hear the word of God, the voice of God as he speaks to our heart, and giving God honor and glory as we're in church, hearing the preaching of the word of God, and then as we respond in the invitation, right? As God speaks to our heart for the honor and the glory of the Lord, there's times we'll leave our seat and we'll say, hey, God, you spoke to me in such a way where I'm taking time to kneel at the altar and giving you all the honor and giving you all the glory for what you have done in my heart tonight. Isn't it special that as a child of God, we get to worship a living Savior? That's what the wise men did when they got to where Jesus was, but Herod missed out on all that, didn't he? He's missing out on the Christ of Christmas. Not a desire to worship the Lord, but instead, how can I do away with him? Then I want you to notice the last thought this evening, and then we're going to put together the end of this as we read just a few more verses in Matthew chapter number 2. I want you to notice the fourth reason tonight why Herod missed out on the Christ of Christmas. Something that was completely contrary or contradictory, or I should say this, contrasting to what the wise men did. Notice with me, if you would, the end of verse number 11. It says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Now watch this. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. Now, we've already said this. Herod missed out on the Christ of Christmas because the wise men were seeking while he was suffering. The wise men were rejoicing while he was restless. The wise men were worshiping while he was worrying. But I want you to notice at the end of verse number 11 that the wise men were giving while Herod was groaning. The wise men were presenting gifts to Jesus. Here's Herod. The Bible tells us again, he is plotting a plan so that he can remain king, while the wise men are giving gifts to a king. Think about that tonight. These wise men presenting these gifts to the Lord as king. Herod's so worried about remaining king, trying to do away with Jesus, while the wise men who have traveled those 600 miles with those gifts that they have prepared to give to Jesus. Now let's think about those gifts for a moment. I know we've talked about the gifts before, the myrrh and the frankincense and the gold, gifts that were very rare, gifts that were very expensive, gifts that were prophetic even, speaking of who Jesus was and what he would do by giving his life. Notice the Bible says they give these gifts, they present unto him gifts, gold. That's a gift for a king, isn't it? Remember, Herod's the king. He wants to remain the king, and he's trying to come up with a plot to remain the king while the wise men are giving gifts to a king, gifts that are worthy for a king, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I want you to notice verse number 16, if you would, as we kind of draw our thought here tonight to a close. I want you to notice the end of the story here. What happens at the end of the story? Why can we say at the end of the life of Herod we know that he missed out on the Christ of Christmas? Look at what it says in verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men. Now, aren't you glad there were some angels that intervened here? Aren't you glad there were angels that let the wise men know, hey, Herod has no desire to worship the king. Instead, he wants to destroy the king. Aren't you glad that there was an angel that visited Joseph there and said, hey, I want you to get the child to a place of protection until King Herod is gone because he's desiring to destroy the king. Aren't you glad that God was working in and through all of this? Herod gets a little bit upset. The Bible says in verse number 16, these wise men have mocked him. And notice the plan that he comes up with. He is, the Bible says, exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem. Hey, this is a way of knowing I'll get Jesus. If I just take the lives of all of these children, I'll be able to get Jesus. I'll be able to have victory over this king of the Jews that they say they're coming to worship. And then notice what it says, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, so again, that gives us an idea of what Jesus' age was at the time when the wise men came and visited him in the house, and it says, which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. According to the time, which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Now look at verse number 17. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. Now there's something I want you to notice about verse 16 through verse number 18. Herod is causing trouble for others, isn't he? Here's mothers now that have lost their children. Herod's actions have affected others, which, by the way, that is true today as well, isn't it? Our actions, our behavior, our choices, our decisions affect others, don't they? And that's what's happening in this decision that Herod has made to take the lives of those that are two and under there in Bethlehem. What we do in our lives affects others. What we do either causes heartache for others around us or it causes blessings for others around us. Hey, may this time of year, may we be a blessing to others that are around us. Hey, we've got the blessing of the good news of Jesus Christ that we have to share with others, don't we? May we not cause heartaches. May we cause blessings to others that are around us because our actions do affect others, and that's exactly what's happening here. Herod's actions are affecting others. At times when many are rejoicing, there's a group of mothers that are weeping, aren't they? You know, you think about those angels that were rejoicing as they came and they delivered the news to Mary, to Joseph. Again, they delivered the message to the shepherds of the joy that has come because Jesus is here. The rejoicing that's taking place. But because of the actions of Herod, again, there's a group of mothers that are weeping. At a time of great glory, or what should have been great glory, there's a group of mothers that are grieving. But aren't you comforted in considering an application from these verses here in chapter 2, verse 16 through 18 that we just read, that the Lord is able to meet our needs in troubled times, isn't He? You think about these mothers as they're weeping for the loss of their child because of the actions of Herod. Aren't you thankful that God can meet us in our troubled times and He's there to be our strength? He's there to be our refuge. But let's put all of this together with verse number 19. Would you look at the very beginning of verse number 19? And this is going to be the saddest part of this thought about Herod tonight. Herod missed out on the Christ of Christmas, didn't he? Look at what it says in verse number 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. And we'll stop right there. He delivers that message that now it's safe. Herod is now dead. And so as we bring our message to a close, we think that Herod, we understand in verse number 19 that Herod not only is troubled and worried and restless and sorrowful while he was here on earth as those wise men came to deliver him the news that the king of the Jews had been born, but Herod's going to be troubled for all of eternity, isn't he? You say, why is that? Because he missed out on the Christ of Christmas, didn't he? Here's the Savior that had come, and he came to die for Herod's sins. But Herod dies without knowing a Savior, doesn't he? Herod never came to trust in the one who had come to die for his sins as his Savior. He dies without a Savior. Jesus had come to give peace, and Herod dies very troubled, doesn't he? And he'll be troubled for all of eternity because he missed out on the Christ of Christmas. Now, if you know Christ as your Savior, we're rejoicing in that tonight, aren't we? Man, let's not ever get to a place at this time of year where we miss out on the Christ of Christmas. Let's make sure that we're with joy in our hearts excited about this time of year, what Jesus did for us. Hey, let's not get over what He was willing to do for us, to leave heaven, to come down here to this earth, to die on the cross for us. We look at the life of Herod. He misses out on the Christ of Christmas. There are some today that are living a life at this time of year and enjoying perhaps the things that go on with Christmas, but they're really missing out on the most important part. They're missing out on Christ. And that's where you and I come in. We're going to try to let the Lord use us this time of year, aren't we? And we're going to try to spread the good news to others that need to know Christ as their Savior. Pointing them to Jesus, pointing them to the Christ, the Savior that came to die on the cross for us. May we be busy to do that. Let's be inviting this week folks to come to the children's Christmas program that will take place this Sunday. Let's be praying for that. Let's be praying that Christ uses that. Let's be praying for the adult cantata as that comes up and the special Christmas services that we have. Be inviting folks to come because the gospel will be presented very clearly in these weeks to come. It's going to be presented very clearly. And we want to have opportunity to let folks know the message of the gospel so that they do not miss out on the Christ of Christmas. Aren't you thankful that you know the Christ of Christmas? Aren't you thankful that you have a relationship with Him? Now let us be busy telling folks about Christ so that others around us will not miss out on the Christ of Christmas. Let's follow the pattern of the wise men, right? Seeking after the Savior, rejoicing in the fact that He had come, great joy in their hearts, worshiping Him, and then giving gifts to the one who had come to be their Savior. Father, I pray that You'd bless this message that was preached tonight that You have laid upon my heart to share this evening. And Lord, I pray that You would take what was